Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, continues our study on the consequences of sin. Now, while this might not be our favorite subject to study, you'll see why it sure is important. So go ahead, grab your seat on the Bible bus and get comfortable, and if you can, open your copy of God's Word to Leviticus chapter 13 at verse 3. And while you do that, I'll share a quick letter from a listener named Sharon in Michigan. I love the Bible bus. Dr. McGee really brings out God's Word in a way that is easy to understand, but with a spark of strong love. I'm so glad these recordings continue. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, not able to go to church. So it's refreshing to have this wonderful program to feed my spirit during the week. I've been listening for a while now and pray that God blesses all involved in this ministry. Well, thanks, Sharon. Thanks so much for your letter as well as for your enthusiasm. And we're so glad that we've got you aboard with us on the Bible bus. Now, what's your story? How did you hear about Through the Bible? When did you start listening? And then more importantly, what's God teaching you through our study of His Word together? Well, December is Letter Month. It's a special time of year that we set aside typically to celebrate God's Word in our hearts and lives. So why don't you contact us and then tell us of the wonderful things that you're learning about the Lord. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now let's pray together and for each other as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank You that we're not hopeless in our sin. As we study Your Word today, please open our hearts and minds so that we may have a clear understanding of how Leviticus 13 applies to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we have seen that leprosy is a picture of sin. It is a type of sin. And it's a picture of sin in many ways. I'd like to read again verse 3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it's a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now, leprosy is an accurate picture of sin in many ways. The Scofield Bible lists three ways, and I'm going to add to that. Let me mention the three they have. First, it's in the blood. Second, it becomes overt in loathsome ways. And we had a drunk that came in off the street, and he sat in a warm auditorium, and all of a sudden he collapsed and fell out of the seat. They had to call the ambulance, and the time the ambulance got here, he was a mess, friends. May I say to you, sin is loathsome in many ways, and it's in the blood. We inherit it. We are sinners by nature. And then, third, it's incurable by human means. That, of course, is not exactly accurate. It wasn't accurate then, and it's not accurate today. But it certainly reveals that it's a horrible disease, and it is a fitting type of sin. And as Kellogg wrote, from among all diseases, leprosy has been selected by the Holy Spirit to stand as the supreme type of sin as seen by God. Then I'd like to add now some other ways. It begins in a small way, a rising or a scab or a bright spot. And finally, it'll deliver a death-dealing blow. And what's at first very small becomes a very frightful and dreadful thing. Lepers in most countries today are isolated from the populace and are segregated in hospitals or colonies. Now, most of us who have viewed pictures brought home by missionaries from Africa or Asia or some other place have seen how repulsive leprosy can be. A missionary, by the way, of a century ago, William Thompson, in The Land and the Book, has this, and I'm quoting, "As I was approaching Jerusalem, I was startled by the sudden apparition of a crowd of beggars, sans eyes, that is, without eyes, without nose, without hair, without everything. They held up their handless arms. Unearthly sounds gurgle through their throats without palates. In a word, I was horrified. You know, sin seems to be so infinitesimal in a little child, but finally it breaks out on a campus, and then it goes into the world, and before long, you have a great sinner. After all, Lenin and Stalin and Hitler were one time little babies, and they started off all right. And by the way, unless little Willie's disciplined and is led to a saving knowledge of Christ, he's going to be a holy terrorist someday, and they are today. Talk about juvenile delinquents. We've got adult delinquents today, but they were little babies at one time. Then there's a fifth thing about leprosy. Leprosy not only progresses slowly from a small beginning, but it progresses surely. From just a little beginning, it advances steadily to a tragic crisis. Dr. Thompson again describes it. He says it comes on by degrees in different parts of the body. The hair falls from the head and eyebrows. The nails loosen, decay, and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink up and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed. The teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. And finally, the wretched victim sinks into the earth and disappears. Well, that's what sin is. God says in Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die." James puts it in James 1:15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Leprosy is a living death. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Like leprosy, sin destroys the whole man. Both are corrosive in their effect, working slowly and surely until finally they break out in an angry display that eventuates in death. No man ever went wrong overnight. Leprosy does not kill in a day. It's not like a heart attack. That's the way sin is. The leper, walking dead, zombies, if you please. Oh, Paul says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And final, desperate and inescapable end of sin and leprosy's death. Then there is the sixth thing about leprosy. It's not a disease which produces sharp and unbearable pain, as do some other diseases. Leprosy keeps the man sad and restless. Likewise, sin produces a restlessness and sadness in a man that's evident in our contemporary culture. I remember reading the account of this little girl that became a nightclub singer, and she told about singing in the nightclubs and said the people before her, the women, had on mink and ermine, and that the men with them attempting to spend money. Her comment was, "None of them are happy." Walking zombies, if you please. Suffering from an awful case of spiritual leprosy. Got itchy feet. What a picture. The crowds that flock today to the places of amusement, like Hollywood, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Las Vegas. They're not a happy crowd. Have you ever looked at that crowd? I went in one of these places in Las Vegas. We went through there, and my wife told me I ought not to do it, but I walked in one of those places, and man, I've never seen so many of these one-armed bandits that were there. And then I went back, and they were shooting craps on a green felt-covered table. And there was a fella that was sitting there, and I, you know, sticking my nose in where I got no business, I just walked up and looked at him, and I said to him, I said, "You winning?" I wish you could have seen the look on his face. He looked like that he was attending the funeral of his mother-in-law, the way the fellow looked. And he just grunted at me, and I saw I wasn't wanted, so I walked out of the place. They weren't happy. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't care for that. May I say to you, our freeways and highways are crowded today with cars filled with restless folk going nowhere fast. You see, we are a generation of people with itchy feet. They got leprosy. I tell you, sin's an awful thing. And then it reaches the place where you don't have any feeling. And Paul said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then leprosy, the seventh thing, is thought to be hereditary. Whether it is or not, I'm not raising a medical question. Sin is. When education assumes that the moral nature of man is capable of improvement, traditional Christianity assumes that the moral nature of man is corrupt or absolutely bad. Where it's assumed in education that an outside human agent may be instrumental in the moral improvement of man, in traditional Christianity it's assumed that the agent is God. And even so, the moral nature of man's not improved, but it's exchanged for a new one. What a tremendous statement that is. And then finally, and this is the eighth, leprosy and sin separate from God. You know, it seemed cruel back there that the leper was not only shut out from society, but also from the sanctuary. But it must be remembered that God is holy and the author of righteousness and cleanness, too. Leprosy, I think, is indeed a fitting symbol of sin that separates from God. Now notice verse 4, and I've spent a long time at the beginning of this chapter because it's important, friends, to see the analogy here and get the great spiritual message for us today, because there's not much being said about sin. Our problem is a sin problem. Now verse 4, if the bright spot be white in the skin of the flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. Now there's no haste, you see, in making a judgment. You see, God's slow to anger in his relationship with us. He grants every opportunity to the sinner. God's very patient. The Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means, though, clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Friends, that's not in the New Testament. That's in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. But in the New Testament, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The priest put up this man, and it was leprosy, he thought, but he's patient with him. But the patient is shut up for 7 days. And God has the world shut up in quarantine because, my friend, sin is the disease. And you know, maybe that's the reason God's not going to let man get very far out in his universe. It was rather amusing. They brought men from the moon to see whether they brought any disease down to this earth, as if we don't have enough. But the point is, did we leave any diseases up there? God hasn't let us go very far because we're quarantined. He's concluded all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. He shut them up together is the scripture. God has shut them up together in unbelief. And the scriptures concluded all under sin. And he shut up together. That's what concluded means. And the priest now, verse 5, shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. You see, after 7 days, the priest makes another inspection. Now, if it's still an element of uncertainty, he permits him to go on. You see, we need to be very careful in making rash judgment of others. You know, it's a serious matter, friends, to make a false charge against another believer. You remember Paul said, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. I've made a rule never to let anyone come in and criticize an officer unless the officer's present to hear it. And do you know how many that I've heard in the past 21 years? Just one. We need to be careful. Then we're told here the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. Another seven, you see. Now, if the plague in the skin is not spread in 14 days, but's improved, it obviously was not leprosy, and the man's pronounced clean. And these were sweet words indeed to be told that. And the man could sing a jubilee song. And the Lord Jesus, you remember, said to the leper, be thou clean. And he can say to the spiritual leper today, the sinner, your sins are forgiven you. And that's the reason he healed down here, friends. He healed physical disease to demonstrate that he's the Savior that can forgive sin. Those scribes there said, who can forgive sins but God? And he says, well, I'm going to say to this man, I'm going to make him walk, this poor impotent man, that you will know that the one who can make him walk can also forgive his sins. That's the important thing after all. Then we're told here that there's the other side of the picture. If the disease is spread in the skin, he'll make another inspection. That's the third inspection. Does God give a man a second chance? Why, you give a man 1,000 chances if it takes that, friends. There are those that have made a profession and they went back on it. Then you have here in verses 9 through 17 the diagnosis of an old case of leprosy. Let me not read here. I'll let you read this section. But will you notice what he's saying here, that apparently leprosy lay dormant in some cases, or it was arrested by some method, although not healed. And this was the case of an old leprosy, as it's called here. Shall we call it, for instance, chronic leprosy? There is no need to put this man up for a period of observation. He's definitely a leper. Now today, they're hardened sinners, and they're so obviously sinners that even their best friends tell them. And under this class would come, well, the hard sinners, and they are the spiritual mafia. They'd like to get out from under the slavery of alcohol, but they are not interested. The same applies to the dope addict. Only a supernatural remedy can help in cases like this. And there's the polished and slick and sophisticated church member. He's unsaved, but he doesn't believe he has leprosy, and he resents being told that he's a lost sinner. The hardened sinner is easier to reach than this fellow here that doesn't think he has leprosy. Then we have here another aspect of old leprosy. It's labeled in this section, old leprosy. Although the entire body is covered, it does not necessarily follow that the case is hopeless. The remarkable statement here in this section is that if the flesh has turned white, the patient is declared clean. This seems so clear to indicate that no sin is hopeless. And that was what Isaiah cried out, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. But it's not necessary, Isaiah said. And that's what God was saying to them, because then he said he had a remedy. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a wonderful section here, and I wish we could go into more detail. Now we have here another section, verses 18 through 28. We have the diagnosis of leprosy from a boil or burn. Now, this deals with leprosy, which comes from a boil. And a boil was to be closely inspected because of a possibility of leprosy beginning there, just as a small sore may become cancerous. And the same process is followed in a new case of leprosy. The white hair in the boil indicated deep-seated trouble. And so the 7 days of inspection were permitted the priest to determine the direction the boil would take. And there's always the danger of old sin spreading and becoming malignant. Oftentimes you hear a new convert speak of deliverance from some evil habit. I remember several years ago, I had a man that was a drunken alcoholic. He accepted Christ as his Savior. And then he got very sick, and I went to see him. And I found out he really wasn't sick of anything but one thing. The place reeked of alcohol when I went into his room, and you could tell it. And he began to weep and said he'd gone back. Well, frankly, you just feel like taking a fellow like that and turning him across your knee and paddling him, but won't do a bit of good. May I say that the leprosy can be cured here. We have a Savior, and a careful inspection should be made, and we don't want to condemn him too soon. Been so easy to walk in there and bawl him out and walk out, and he'd have felt badly, and I would have felt badly, and we wouldn't have helped each other. Now we have here, instead of a boil being the basis of leprosy, here it's termed a hot burning, and the hot burning is rather an indefinite identification. It could be caused by a red-hot object or an infection that has fever in it. At any rate, there was a danger of leprosy developing. And this seems to confirm the scripture that teaches us that the flesh must be kept under close observation, for it can break out in the most alarming manner. You remember Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And there are other wonderful passages in this connection, like the 6th chapter of Romans and 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said he kept under his body. We need to be very careful. And then you have here the diagnosis of leprosy that's localized in head or beard. That's 29 through 44. It might break out in a most unlikely spot. And if it were hidden in the hair of the head or beard, it might not be discovered. And special observation should be made. But it's to be examined rather carefully. And you know, sin insinuates itself sometimes into the chief places in the church, in a Sunday school teacher's meeting, or in a board meeting, or in the missionary society, and it enervates and vitiates the witness of an entire body just as it works its way in. And it may be that the plague in the hair beard is not leprosy, and you have time to make a judgment. We need to be careful about these things. And then we come down to the disposal of the garments. And the garments of a leper were first to be rent, just as torn as in the case of death. The leper was considered a dead man, and the sinner spreads his sin wherever he goes. His disease is contagious, and he infects others. Any father has a right to live his own life as he pleases, but he has no right to take a precious son to hell with him, and there are a lot of fathers doing that today. The leper defiles that which is around him, and that's what this teaches here. Oh, it reveals a great deal about the contagious diseases and the fact that even the garments can carry the infection and spread it. And sin today can be spread, and it is spreading, my beloved. This is a tremendous chapter. The next chapter will continue the same theme. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Join us next time as the Bible Bus moves along with more great teaching from Dr. McGee. Until then, to learn more about this ministry or to get help selecting a resource to help you dig deeper in your study of God's Word yourself, then visit ttb.org. Or if we can help you find something in particular, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, as we approach Christmas, a booklet that I think you'll want to download is Dr. McGee's free booklet, The Real Songs of Christmas. It's based on Luke 1, verses 39 to 55. You can rejoice in the songs of Elizabeth and Mary as they worship our Lord before he was even born. An often overlooked passage at this time of the year, don't miss this opportunity to look at the birth of Jesus in a new and surprising way. Again, it's called The Real Songs of Christmas, and it's available for you to download anytime for free at ttb.org. And for those of you who wish to reach us by mail, you can do that by writing to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, as always, so grateful for our time together in God's Word.
Jesus made it home, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible Bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.